Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Aloha, my friends. Welcome to the post show. Great day thus far here in our ESPN studios. Just wrapped up the regular show, if you will. You may not have heard it because you're a crust firster. And let's be honest, everyone has a little crust first in them. Everyone has it in their DNA. It is sweeping the nation. We've gone through this before, but I just need to remind you from time to time that this is a thing and it ain't going anywhere. But today was a great day. We had two in-studio guests. We had Michaela Mayer. We had Eddie Alvarez. We had Darren Till in his first interview since UFC 228. The one with Paddy Power doesn't really count because that was the sponsor. We had Valentina Shevchenko. We had Chris Weidman in his first interview since it was announced that he is fighting Jacare Souza. And boy, did the UFC take a long time to announce that. It took like 3 days to make the change. But in any event, Ally Quinta. Who else stopped by? Ryan Bader. It's been a great day. But now it's time for the post show, and everyone loves the post show. And this is usually the time where I say, and it's so great to be joined by my good pal, New York Rick, my partner in crime of, what, 7 or 8 years. But as you can see, he is not here. He is not in the building. He is not in the vicinity. In fact, he's not even in the state. And I miss him. I miss him dearly. And so it's not a post show without New York Rick. Although Jake, by the way, for the record, was lobbying hard back there. He's like, this is my time to shine.
That's a lie. He's the Wally Pip.
I'm the Lou Gehrig. I'm the Iron Horse. He missed his time. Let's go. It's the Jake Lebowitz era. And I said, you know what, Jake? You're getting a little too big for your britches. It's still the New York Rick era. So I'm excited to announce that joining us from all the way in Hawaii is Mr. New York Rick. Look at this. Wow. How about that? Shaved head, beard getting a little longer. He's got the tank top on. Loving life over there. New York Rick, how are you, my friend?
Aloha.
Wow. You are actually in Hawaii right now.
I'm actually in Hawaii. I'm in Honolulu. By the way, I appreciate you, you know, restoring order and keeping me in that place that I need and fending off Jake's advances on my position.
Yeah. I mean, look, he came in today and he was like, hey, Eric's not in today. I was thinking of maybe sliding in over here and doing the post for myself. I got a lot of hot takes on a lot of important things.
Why are you trying to cause the tension between the team?
And I was like, listen, man, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not an instigator. I don't do that sort of thing. You know what I mean? This is his
this is his
time to shine. So why are you in Hawaii, by the way?
What'd you say? Where am I in Hawaii?
No, why are you in Hawaii?
Oh, I'm in Hawaii for my sister-in-law's wedding. She's actually right behind me.
Wow.
And they're getting married on Saturday.
So she's getting married on Saturday, but she said, you know what? On the Monday before my wedding, I need to make a cameo on the post show.
Holly, why don't you come over?
Can we say hi to Holly?
Polly, my wife is Holly.
Oh, right. Wait, Polly and Holly? Hello.
Yeah. Polly's debut.
Wow. Mazel tov. Wow. So your wife's sister is brave enough to go on the air, but your wife has yet to make an appearance.
Holly doesn't have the stones for it.
Wow, amazing. And since you're in Hawaii, you had to wear a tank top. You just had to show off.
I mean, this is the uniform.
This is
what I had to do.
Wow. Well, we miss you over here, but thank you for carving out some time over for, what is it, 10:30 or so over there, right?
Yeah,
6 hours behind. So thank you for carving out some time. I'm assuming you watched the entire show live. You woke up early?
I did. I woke up at 4:30, watched every bit of it, covered it from start to finish, and what a show it was.
Yeah. Favorite interview? Any moments you want to discuss? Any highlights, lowlights?
You know, it was interesting to hear, you know, Eddie Alvarez talking about the terms of his deal. I wasn't sure that he was going to, so revelatory is how I would describe
it. Stop it. You didn't listen to anything. Some loyal friend you are. You didn't listen to anything.
Twitter.com, live.twitter.com/ESPN.
That's right. That's where you keep up with it all. New York Rick, we have some things to discuss. UFC is in Moncton, New Brunswick, which couldn't be further away from Hawaii this weekend. It's literally like on the other side of North America. And it's Anthony Smith versus Volkan Ozdemir in a pretty important fight at 205. The rest of the card is a little thin. There's Artem over there against Michael Johnson, which is a pretty fun fight. Anything that the fans, we haven't done this in a while, so I thought we'd start out with it after a pretty quiet week in MMA. Anything that the fans should look out for?
Yeah, from a betting perspective, there's one that I really like and then one that I'm a little lukewarm on, but I'll give anyway. The one I really like is Arjun Bullock.
Oh.
I really like him. He's only minus 210 right now. I think the submission was one of those cases where you're getting a guy who's a little bit raw and beating him early and getting him early. I don't think we'll see something like that again. And I also, just coincidentally, talked to one of his striking coaches this morning.
What?
And told me that his striking is looking better than his wrestling. Now, obviously, you got to take the striking coach's word on that with a grain of salt, and everybody's going to say that heading in, but he's not the type of guy to BS. And I am confident that Arjun is going to look really good and kind of continue to improve his striking. Like, I think he was winning that fight on the feet last time before he started shooting into the takedowns, and put himself in a position to get submitted. I think he's going to continue to round out his game at minus 10. I really like him there.
Wow. Wait a second. You're actually doing research for these picks now? You're reaching out to coaches?
As I said, it was a bit of a coincidence. The name of the coach, Jauncey, he coaches one of the athletes I work with in Glory, Josh Jauncey, his brother. They're up in WKX in Vancouver. And I happened to be talking to him, and he was talking about how he's going to want to be with Arjun. And it solidified what I was thinking about that fight. So, yeah, I'm doing a little bit.
Okay, so Arjun's on the radar, trying to bounce back. Had that setback in Phoenix several months back. And I still think that he is a name to watch at heavyweight, of course. You know, dropped the fight, but trains with AKA, trains at in British Columbia. So, okay, I like that one. You're going with the Canadian guy. What else we got?
I also like, and this one's a little bit less of a like, if we're doing degrees, you know, this one's not a full unit, but I like Port McGee. Port McGee is an underdog to Alex Garcia. He's plus 160. Alex Garcia is minus 185. Now, certainly, I think Garcia is going to be very dangerous for as long as he maintains his power and can stay composed and not spend himself out. But I think Court's cardio is going to take over in the later round. He's going to be able to get a close decision. It's either going to be 29-28, or maybe he gets 30-27 here and a 29-28 there. I think he will be able to weather the storm that Garcia has. Garcia, very, very explosive, very powerful, good takedowns. But I think Court's going to be able to weather it, volume on him in the later round. Like Court McGee as a dog at plus 160.
Okay. Those are the two you're looking for. By the way, what's the line in the main event? I'm curious.
Yeah, the line in the main event is Anthony Smith plus 160, Ozdemir minus 185. Mm. I like Anthony Smith. If you're giving me a little bit better odds on him, I would have played Anthony Smith. But I think Ozdemir is getting a little bit swept aside, a little bit underrated because of the inactivity and because of the last fight. Whereas Smith has been kind of steadily gaining momentum. I like Smith in the fight, but I would have liked him at a little bit better odds. I'm not that confident that somebody as tough as Ozdemir is going to be an easy out for him, the way everybody else to this point has been an easy out for him going to light heavyweight. So if I'm leaning, I'm leaning Smith, but not the odds really do for me.
And what about Lobov Johnson?
Yeah, that one's a rout, at least in the odds. Michael Johnson is minus 650 coming in on short notice. Lobov is plus 475. Doesn't surprise me. I think Johnson is clearly the more skilled of the two fighters from an overall game perspective. I don't know if I'd lay money on Michael Johnson at that price. He's been a bit of an up and down guy throughout his career, but I think he should certainly be able to get it done against Artem Lobov.
Okay. All right, so that's the story for this weekend. A couple other things that I wanted to get your take on. UFC 230 again hit, though this time I will say I'm really happy about the change. Like, I'm not happy that Rockhold's out because I was looking forward to seeing him fight. But Weidman-Jacare has been a fight, honestly, that I feel like I've talked about on the show before. I've always wanted to see these two compete against each other because of the grappling backgrounds, because they kind of came into the sport at around-ish the same time. I don't know. I just really love this fight. I'm really excited about it. And the Rockhold fight I thought was a little too soon for Chris to come back after the long layoff. I think this one makes more sense for both of them.
I like the fight. It's no secret that I, you know, get the gator arms out every once in a while.
Yes.
But for me, Rockhold and Weidman is the fight I wanted to see because I feel like there's real heat there. There's real tension. There's real friction between the two. They're not overly vocal with each other. They're not going out of their way to make it cartoonish trash talk, but you can tell that these two don't like each other. I like that. Whereas it's very hard. I can't imagine anybody really talking that much trash to Jacare. He's kind of reserved. He's kind of respectful. But as far as the matchup in the grapple, where I'm going to be definitely interested to see this one. It'll be interesting to see if Chris is even interested at all at going to the ground with Jacare, or if Jacare is even interested at all at going to the ground. These are two guys whose bases in grappling will very often turn it into striking battles, sometimes to their detriment, and a lot of times people don't expect coming in. I don't know which way I lean there. Chris has been out for quite a bit. It's hard to know where he stands in it. Surgeries, it's hard to know where he stands. I'm with you. I like the matchup. For me, Rockhold and Weidman is the one I want to see the most. But if this is the consolation prize, nobody should be upset.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate overall that the card loses depth as a result, because Jacare was supposed to fight David Branch. Branch now fighting Jared Cannonier. But it becomes very thin after those top two or three fights. And especially when you compare it to the fact that, you know, the last two MSG cards had six title fights combined. I think we got a little spoiled from those. But the top two fights are fun. And hopefully next week we'll...
The Black Beast.
Yeah, Black Beast. Black Beast selling that t-shirt on Instagram. Look at him trying to get all business savvy. You see that?
His balls was hot. I mean, what else do you need to say?
Yeah, there is really nothing else to say. I wanted to ask your opinion about this because last week, I have to say, I have received so much negative feedback from fans online. Like, if I go into my Instagram DMs, like, not my like, I have two sections. There's the main DMs, and then there's the, like, the filter DMs. If I go into the filter DMs, holy moly, is it a cesspool over there? Wow. And it's very nasty. When we were doing Ariel and the Bad Guy last week, I said there was a question, which I thought was a phenomenal question, that was conjured up by our team over here. The question was, who's winning post-fight, Khabib or Conor? And I said, they're both winning and they're both losing. And just in case you missed it, because I know you were traveling, I said that Khabib is winning because he won and because he's meeting Vladimir Putin and because he's going out to a stadium filled with 30,000 fans and they're all showering him with love and that he's a hero and he's gained all this attention and all this buzz and Instagram followers and all that stuff. I said where he's losing is that it feels like in some respects he's following the Conor playbook. He's doing the Floyd dance. And I think Khabib is above that. He doesn't have to do the Floyd dance. Like, you're bigger than that. You beat the guy. Do your own dance. Do your own playbook. Follow that. And then I said Conor is winning because no one seems to lose better than Conor. It seems like the guy hasn't, like, lost a step at all. He's out there with the Cowboys. He's rubbing elbows with this person, that person. He's all over the place. He's sitting ringside for Katie Taylor. But he's kind of losing because I feel like a lot of fans wanted him to disappear. I feel like a lot of fans wanted him to be like the first Nate fight, go to a remote location like John Kavanaugh told me a couple weeks ago, and just train to get the rematch. And so that's why I feel like I'm not sitting on the fence. I feel like they're both winning, both losing. The Khabib fans are so mad. They are so mad. How could you say that he's following the playbook? How are you so anti-Khabib? I feel like a lot of other people, including yourself, have said the same thing. Am I wrong here? Am I off base? Am I anti-Khabib? What is your take on who's winning post this UFC 229 saga?
Before I answer that, are you only getting it from the Khabib side of things, or were people upset with your Conor take as well?
I think people were upset with my Conor stuff, like post 220. Like I said at the end of the show on Monday, on earlier today, I was like, never before have I received so much, you're anti this guy, pro this guy, you're anti this guy, pro this guy, which to me leads me to feel like I'm actually doing it right because everyone thinks they're being wronged, right? But in the last couple of days, everyone was very mad that I said, there's this thing that Khabib put out there where he said, you know, be loyal, be loyal, be loyal. And I don't know why it started. He's the only fighter who has ever accused me of, you know, in the past, disloyal, this, that. And to that, I would say, like, show me one example where I haven't been quote unquote loyal, which, by the way, isn't my job necessarily. It's to tell it like it is. But fine. Show me one example. Post 229. He won fair and square, kicked his butt, all that stuff and more. I said he didn't deserve a punishment. I said he didn't deserve getting fined or getting his belt stripped and things like that. Like, where have I been disloyal? So to say that he's literally doing the same thing that happened after the Eddie Alvarez fight, literally with Floyd. And by the way, Floyd is sitting in the corner laughing at all of us that we're buying this, right? Floyd is literally looking for the easiest fight, the biggest payday possible. He is laughing at all of us because he's like, oh yeah, you want me to fight Gennady Golovkin or Andre Ward? Or you want me to fight freaking Canelo? No, I'm going to go fight non-boxers and make more money than fighting the boxers. This is great. This is a beautiful thing that I figured out. That's the exact playbook that he did against Conor. We saw this already. How could you not say otherwise? I don't get it.
I agree with you. Same playbook. I think it's not unfair to say that there should be a different path forged. And I think we actually touched on this last week where I said, I think Khabib would be best served to kind of continue to build his legacy in MMA before he starts looking outside this. Conor is the type of fighter who, you know, was reaching things that seemed unattainable. That's why that Floyd Mayweather fight came together, was because it seemed too impossible to happen, and Conor is great at making those impossible things happen. Whereas Khabib is building a legacy as being this dominant MMA champion, and I think he needs to kind of continue that. I think he needs to focus on that. I think he can really do himself a huge favor by building that brand and feeling unstoppable, seeing that there's, you know, nobody left, figuring it out, and then starting to look for different challenges. But I don't think that that's unfair. I think that everybody kind of cribs from the Conor playbook. I don't think it's the Khabib specific thing. I think everybody kind of wants to take a cue from it. After Mayweather McGregor, and even in the lead up to Mayweather McGregor, saw all kinds of MMA fighters challenging other boxers, not necessarily Mayweather, but you saw Jimmy Manoa doing it. You saw it was a thing that became a thing because of Conor. So I don't necessarily think this is a Khabib thing, but I do think he would be better served to be building his legacy and focused on that than necessarily trying to jump outside real quick.
Call me a dreamer, call me idealistic, but it would be nice if Khabib was the guy who brought order back to the sport, right? It has been a mess. And if Khabib is the guy who says, no, I'm the UFC champion, I'm going to restore some order, some credibility to this belt, and I will fight Tony Ferguson, even though our fight has been cursed, and then I will fight this guy and that guy, and then I might go fight George St. Pierre, and then I might go fight for the 170 belt, but I'm not gonna, cause let's be honest, like, it's amazing to me, and I think it's a very telling sign about where the sport is, that every time someone feels like they made it, they look outside the sport. We're the only sport. Yeah. Hey, LeBron, you just beat the Golden State Warriors. What's next? I'm going to go play for the Raiders. Yeah, like what? No, that doesn't happen in any other sport except for ours. It's never good enough in our sport. And I actually believe that it's not good enough, that they feel like they can make more money elsewhere. But it would be nice if Khabib, as like sort of stoic and loyal and stone-faced, you know, as he is, be like, I'm going to bring, you know, some order back to the sport. I see that being his playbook, and that's something no one else has done.
From a financial perspective, it's probably not the thing that's the most attractive. Now, I don't know the likelihood of Khabib getting a fight with Floyd Mayweather. Financially, it probably wouldn't be his best move. But I think as a statement, as a power play, to be able to say, I don't want Floyd to fight Floyd Mayweather in boxing. If he wants to fight, come to my arena, come to the Octagon and fight me. That would say something. That would mean something if he was turning down that fight. And, you know, it's not a secret. He's been on Instagram talking about keeping, you know, various organizations or commissions keeping his money, saying, yeah, you know what, I don't need it, it's for other reasons. Well, if that's the case, he can make a huge statement by saying, come to the Octagon if you really want to fight, otherwise I'm not interested. Said that as
oh, you see, I love that. See, that's taking the playbook and evolving it. That's making it your own narrative. This guy had to leave the sport in order to make money. I'm the king of the sport. I'm 27-0. Floyd, if you want a piece, come take on someone your own side. Come to our sport. You've been teasing us. See, that's smart. You should be guiding this man's career. That's smart. I didn't even think of it that way. And it's right below. It was right under our noses this whole time. And I got a pretty big one. That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great
Floyd
idea.
Will never take the fight, though. That's the financial
right.
Angle of this is you can't tempt Floyd because he's always the A side and he's going to be smart about it and he's not going to take an MMA fight.
Still a great idea. I mean, what you really think this is going to happen? Do you have any first, do you think it's going to happen? And B, do you have any interest in this happening?
Zero interest. Let me start with that. I don't have any interest. And do I think it's going to happen? I honestly think there's a likelihood. I think more so than not, because I think Floyd Mayweather controls it. I think he's completely in control. If he can, if he as not only the fighter, but as his own promotion can set the table for this, why would anybody on the other side of this turn this down? I don't think it damaged. Do you feel that Conor's brand was damaged in any way in the fight game by losing to Mayweather?
No, but I feel like it's because he was the only one. Now, if everyone else starts doing it, it almost seems, like I said, it feels like Floyd is making fun of us. Oh,
but
who else is going to do this?
Khabib couldn't easily just jump back into the octagon and say, hey, I gave it a shot. I made $50 million. I made whatever.
Yeah, sure. Now I'm back. Sure.
I think if Floyd can set the table for this, and it really is up to him at this point, if he can set the table for this, I'd see it as a hard offer to turn down, but I don't think it's the fight that I would want to see or most people would want to see, but would reluctantly see.
Yeah. No, of course. But again, go back to when this whole Conor thing started. I wasn't, you know, championing this cause. I wasn't campaigning for him to do this. No, I want to see the best do the best. I want to see the best compete in their field. And we got to do this once. To have Floyd come back into our world now, it honestly feels like he's making fun of all of us. And for, you know, Khabib's fans, they're like, I get the passion. I get the loyalty. I respect it wholeheartedly. But yo, let's chill out here a little bit, all right? Because we've seen this story. We saw how it played out. And by the way, if you're the type of fans that all you want is for your guy to get paid, great. But if there's one thing that I know about MMA fans, Exhibit A, Eddie Alvarez, they don't give a crap about how much their favorite fighter makes. They just want to see their favorite fighter fight the best. They are not out there, you know, saying, let's unionize guys, fight for, you know, your revenue sharing and your piece of the pie. They could not care less about that. They don't care about Khabib getting paid. They want to see him do the best. So stop trying to tell me that you actually want to see him fight Floyd because you don't. Because you know how it's going to end. Daniel Cormier himself told us how it's going to end, and he's 100% right.
Yeah, to compare to another sport, the fans do often side with ownership. They definitely take management side on most of these financial issues.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd like to extend an olive branch because my DMs have been a nasty, nasty place, as our president likes to say, a nasty place, and it is very uncomfortable. Look, I just want to go on my Instagram and look at photos and go to House of Highlights and whatnot. I don't want this nastiness. You know what I mean? It's just so nasty. Sheesh. So nasty. And sometimes it borders on anti-Semitic, if I'm being honest. But, you know, that's just...
That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. By the way, how about PFL? They wrapped up their, you know, quarterfinals, semifinals. They've got their finals in place. Are you liking what they're doing, or are you still a bit on the fence?
There's one thing I'm really liking, which is Hawaii's own Ray Cooper.
Yes. Are they dancing in the streets over there because of Ray Cooper?
I haven't been here long enough to see.
Okay.
But, man, that guy is the truth. And I think he was one of the fighters that, you know, people recognize the story between Jake Shields and his father. But not weren't necessarily banking on as a guy who's going to come in and dominate the way he has. What an incredible run it's been for Ray Cooper. And I think, beyond the tournament, I think he's got the appeal for, you know, long-term success. I think that he's going to be one to watch for a long time.
One thing they need to work out is this whole thing, like the two-round quarterfinal fight. Yeah. So if it's a draw, they go to the first round. Yeah. It's weird, right?
No, I'm not a fan. I don't like it. And especially the permutation that we just saw where a point was taken away.
Yeah.
The first round supersedes. It doesn't create good, action. I understand, you know, that you have to have some mechanisms in place to advance the tournament, in a way that makes sense. For me, this one doesn't make sense. And I don't like it.
Yeah. You're referring to the John Howard, Luis Taylor fight. In the end, Luis Taylor ends up advancing, but it doesn't feel like there's a real resolution to the fight. If you're going back to the first round, it goes against everything that we are told about a fight. Like, it's the opposite of what made Pride so great, right? Pride was about who won the fight in its totality. Here, it's who started better if they have to go to this system. And I think that's a little bit convoluted. They're figuring it out. Their finals take place December 31st. But I think overall they've had some bright spots. I feel the urgency in the fights. I like, you know, like when Cooper wins, he gets on the mic and he's like, I'm ready to fight right now. I think that stuff is cool. Cooper has been a bright spot. Kayla Harrison has been a bright spot even though she wasn't in the tournament. There's something there. I just think they need to sort of work out some of those issues for season two if there is a season two.
Yeah, it'll also be interesting to see who they add. That will always right. be what I think determines, you know, where the eyeballs are in MMA. And if they're able to add people that are fresh faces, and maybe they're getting people who start to be either in their prime or about to be in their prime or on the tail end of their prime, but not necessarily out of their prime, it's going to be a recipe for eyeballs. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, now that they have one tournament or they're going to shortly have a tournament under their belt, going to be interesting to see the fighters who are looking at this as a potential viable option.
So the next time we shall speak will be post UFC 230 because you're actually leaving us for 2 weeks, which is just unfathomable. I mean, I can't remember the last time I took a 2 week vacation. What's it like? Tell me afterwards, okay? I'd love to know. And
I'll let you know how it feels.
Yeah, please send us a postcard. And I hope you enjoyed over there. I hope you have a good time in the sun. It's very cold here, so I hope that you're having a great time. And then we'll talk to you after UFC 230 because next week's post show we'll have someone in studio. It's a special guest. I'm not revealing it yet, but we'll have someone sitting in that chair of yours.
And don't worry, it's not me.
Yes, thank God. I mean, he'll probably campaign between now and then for that spot, but it will not be Jake. It will be someone else who has earned his shot at sitting in your chair. That's next week on the post show, so stay tuned for that.
I'm very curious to see who this person is.
Yes.
If it's not Jake, who's been coming for my neck.
Yes.
I'm curious to see who's stepping into the octagon with me.
Well, mahalo for the time. Aloha for the time. You'll have to wait and see until next week. Thank you for doing this, my man. Congratulations. Mazel tov to the how do you say congratulations in pidgin? How do you say that? You know, do you have any idea?
No, we got nothing.
Nothing? Nothing at all?
And we got nothing.
All right. Okay, well, anyhow, mazel tov. I'm sure they have a lot of people who say that over there. Yeah, shaka. Shaka it up. Enjoy. Talk to you later. There he is, New York Rick, joining us from the magic of Skype. Appreciate his time very much. A couple other things before I say goodbye. Like I said, the Nevada Athletic Commission hearing will be on Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. Conor Khabib, they'll be deciding if they'll be indefinitely suspended pending their investigation. That appears to be what will happen, but maybe they'll throw us a curveball. Also, they'll decide whether or not they will withhold or continue to withhold Khabib's purse. So that's a very interesting development as well. Greg Hardy returns to action on December, I believe it's 21st in Pensacola, Florida, opponent TBD. But that should be, if all goes well, according to the people that I spoke to, his last fight before the UFC. And his UFC debut could be coming sooner rather than later, believe it or not. So it's kind of crazy that we got to this point, but former NFL player Greg Hardy could be fighting the octagon sooner rather than later. And congratulations to Mr. Van Zandt, Austin Vanderford, who had the first round finish over the weekend as well. I cannot believe a promotion, a big name promotion like a PFL, that's a guy that you should be signing. Bellator, you should be signing that guy. People know who he is. There's not a lot of those guys out there on the regional scene. Other fights to look out for this weekend, Misha Cirkunov against Patrick Cummins. Who else? Ed Herman versus John Volante. Nordin Taleb against Sean Strickland. Calvin Kattar against Chris Fishgold. I'm looking forward to that. The former Cage Warriors champion making his UFC debut. Sarah Moraes against Talita Bernardo and Arjun Buller, we talked about. Stevie Ray on the card as well. So a little bit of something for everyone this weekend in Moncton. We'll be back on Monday to recap all that and more. This is my daughter's birthday week, so I'm very excited about that. We have a big birthday bash scheduled for her on Sunday. I'll wrap that up for you on Monday as well. For now, though, we shall say goodbye as the music slowly creeps into your earbuds there. It has been a very fun day, but still to come, I have another thing to do. I have to do another interview today, and if you're watching this or listening to this later, you probably know who it is, but I don't like to jinx because I'm a very nervous, nervous Nelly. That's just my thing. I get too nervous. It's one of the things I'd really like to work on come 2019. Stop being so nervous. Stop being so anxious. What is wrong with me? all the time, thinking, getting nervous, overthinking. Sheesh, man. Oh, here they come. The fans again. Oh my. They are just nasty fans. Nasty fans. It's okay. Much love to all of you. One for all and all for one. I love you all. Please. Peace and love. Like the great, who is it? George Harrison? Was he the one who said it? Peace and love. No, it was, what's his name? Ringo Starr. Peace and love. I love you all. Please keep it coming. Thank you to all our guests today. It's been a great day. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. If you missed anything, check it out. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, all those places and more. We're back next week. It's UFC 230 week here in New York. Some in-studio guests to come. Till then, bye-bye. I'm out of here.